today, I'm going to get right to it. So turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. I don't particularly like to preach Mother's Day sermons, Father's Day sermons, 4th of July sermons. I like to preach Bible sermons on those days. And so the closest thing to Mother's Day this sermon is going to be for you for a Mother's Day sermon is the title. Okay? I titled this message Stretch Marks. Stretch marks. Stretch marks. What is stretch marks? What causes stretch marks? And I asked my wife, my lovely bride, who, by the way, has not one single stretch mark, I don't think. She says that, well, rapid growth results in stretch marks. I thought, well, see, there you go. How appropriate, because God wants rapid growth from us. And so he wants us to exhibit stretch marks, marks showing that we've had rapid growth. Okay, and that's where we're going. See, it's really not a Mother's Day sermon. But we're preaching it on Mother's Day, so there you are, stretch marks. Acts chapter 3. I want to read you to read with me the first 10 verses of this chapter. This is not long. It's right after the beginning of the church, and there was a lot of excitement and whatnot. And at this point, just real quick, at this point, these new believers, it hadn't been long enough where they've been kicked out of the Jewish church yet, the Jewish faith. I mean, they hadn't kicked them out yet because they're still trying to figure out what to do with these people who are Jewish Christians, okay? And there will come a time later when they're not allowed to go to the synagogues and to the temple and whatnot because they believe in Jesus. But right now, there's just a lot of excitement. There's no limitations or boundaries on them, I guess, at this point. But before I read, I want to make a couple statements to you that your strength is in your stretch. Beyond what you think you're able to do, beyond the possibilities that you've even imagined for yourself, that's where God meets you. And that is where he shows you what you can become. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, one day, Peter and John, see I have Peter and John here? Which one's first? Peter? Yeah, Peter and John. Peter and John, you may not be able to see that in the back, but I'll show you here in just a moment. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him and said, as did John. Or Peter looked straight at him and as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. I want to tell you that, did you know that if you'll give God your attention, he'll always exceed your expectations? When he says to you, look at me, there's something very, very significant from that. Go back one verse, if you would, please, Chad. To verse 4. It says, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. And that's what God wants to tell somebody in this room today. Look at me. Get your attention on me. I know you've come and you've got this need and you've got this thing that you think is your greatest need. And we talked about that last week. You think this is your greatest need? Look at me and I want to show you what I want to do for you. And so somebody in here today, God's just telling you, look at me. Look at me. Not me, him. Look at me, he's saying. And I think it's also interesting, and I mentioned it with our prayer group this morning in verse 2. It said, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put. How often? Every day. Okay, this guy had some faithful friends. He couldn't get there on his own. He was carried, and I love this, I love this. He was carried to a beautiful place, right? He was carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. It was a beautiful place. He was carried there every day. Somebody took him there every day. That's a faithful friend. That's a faithful friend. In verse 6, Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." Get goosebumps. Walk. Taking him by the right hand. You know what the right hand represents? That's the hand of authority. Where is Jesus seated? At the right hand of the Father. Okay. Taking by his right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Everybody say instantly. That's how fast it happened. This dude, he was over 40 years old and he'd never even walked. Now, instantly, he's strong and he can walk. Amen. It says here, I lost my place. Oh, verse 8. This is my exciting verse here. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them in the temple courts, doing what? Walking and jumping and praising God. Then all the people saw him walking and praising God. They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You see, we all have ups and downs, don't we? Do you have ups and downs? Some days we do. Some days we can identify with Peter and John. Up. Sometimes we can identify with this lame beggar. Down. Sometimes we can identify with both. The book of Acts, it's a fantastic book. It chronicles the beginnings of the church as it grew from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then eventually to the uttermost ends of the earth. But in order for the gospel to spread, something had to happen. In order for the gospel to spread, the disciples had to stretch. They had to stretch. And sometimes those stretches left marks. God still wants his kingdom to expand. And he wants to do it by stretching his people. Amen. He wants to begin doing it. He wants to do it by stretching you, by stretching me. And I will tell you that God's supply will always meet the demand put upon you. No matter what it is. But you will never, ever be able to meet that demand on your own. We have to stretch. We have to stretch beyond what we think we can do. We have to stretch maybe beyond what our belief is, like the man last week. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. I want to stretch. I want to grow. I want that belief that I don't have yet. I have this belief, and I can stand firm on that, and I'm comfortable with that, but there's a belief there that I don't have, and I want to stretch into that belief also. Lord, help me in my unbelief. The book of Acts doesn't just describe how the gospel went forth, though. I love this. I love how it doesn't just describe it. It demonstrates it. And usually a demonstration is better than a description, right? Usually if you somebody tells you about something, it's not as powerful or as impactful or as memorable as somebody demonstrating it for you. Most often we're very visual learners and we need to be able to see it, right? Amen. Okay, well, God didn't just describe his love for you either. He demonstrated his love. And how did he do that? He gave his only begotten son to die on a cross for you and for me. Every single one of us, he did that if we would choose to receive that gift. Without a demonstration, a declaration is often just words. It's empty. There's not much to it. Well, Peter and John, now they have to put into practice the power that they claim to have received. It's a stretch. Everybody say stretch. Stretch. That's right. They head to church and they come across this lame guy and he's begging for money. Maybe for food, for rent. I don't know. He's begging for money. The Bible says he's begging for money. I wonder how many people had stepped over this man before Peter and John came along. Remember, he'd been there. He'd been lame for 40 years, right? How many days were in 40 years? A bunch, okay? Now, I don't know when he started doing this, but surely he's been there a long time. How many people went to the temple to pray? Only almost everybody. So how many people had stepped over this guy every day, every day, every day? Did you know that your greatest opportunity for a miracle may be It may come in the form of something that you've been stepping over every day for a long time. Ooh, there's something, huh? It's quite possible that your greatest opportunity for a miracle is something that you've been stepping over every day. Maybe you're looking at it as like, well, I would like to help that situation. I would like for something to be done there, but I don't have the time. I don't have the ability. I don't have the whatever. And so you just walk over every day. And then when you leave the temple, you walk back over. Sorry, buddy. Sorry, habit. Sorry, attitude. I don't have it within me to help. I'm sorry, I would like to, but I want you to know that your greatest opportunity for a miracle may come in the form of something that you've been stepping over for a long, long time. I need some help. I need to ask, is Donna and Liz, are y'all in the house? I need to ask y'all to come up here, please. Donna and Liz. And I'm going to ask them to kind of represent Peter and John. Okay? I figured since it was Mother's Day, I would use Mother's. You get this one. You get this. Yeah, y'all got to come up here. You got to come all the way up here. I want everybody to see. And just stand here, right here beside me. You got to help me preach this. Remember, a demonstration is always better than a declaration. So I'm going to use these to demonstrate. Come up, stand. I got to be able to touch you. And I still got to look at my notes. Okay. Now see, Liz reminds me a lot of Peter. Very bold, right? A good talker, right? Did y'all know that Liz is a talker? She is. She reminds me a lot of Peter in that. And Donna, she reminds me of a lot of John because she's often very quiet, okay? But she's steady. She is rock solid. I mean, she's always there. That's who she is. Not that Liz is bad and Donna's good, or not that Donna's bad and Liz is good, but they're different in what they do. They have different personalities, right? But did you know that they are also a team? I mean, they helped me in the office. They have run the office even before I came, and they are a team. They work well together, even though they're different. And I want to use Donna and Liz this morning to demonstrate for you four things that will help us stretch and reach our fullest potential for Christ, okay? So you just got to stay here for a minute, okay? And the first thing I want to do, these are four things, and to make it easy for you, they all start with P, all right? So they are partners, and so that's my first point, partnership. Scripture says that Peter and John went up together. There's a little conjunction there, but it's very important because it means that they were a team. They went together. Sit there. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. They were together. They're a team. All right? So I want to ask you, who's on the other side of your and? Who have you partnered up with? And what kind of difference is that making in your life? Yeah? Now we have Peter who was very bold and he said, you know, on the night that Jesus was telling them about the things that were about to unfold. And Peter, I mean, bold Peter, right? Lord, I will never, ever deny you, right? And what did John do? No, at the time, at the table, when Jesus declared it, and what did John do? He just laid back against Jesus. You see, John's kind of laid back. Not like Donna, just kind of laid back. Peter was very bold. He said, no, not me. I got your back all the way. I'm going to carry a sword. I'm going to start cutting ears off. I will never, ever deny you, right? John, when news came that Jesus wasn't in the tomb anymore. Remember, Peter and John, they ran as a team. Remember, they ran to the tomb. Except one was faster than the other. You know who was faster? John was faster. John got to the tomb first. I love how he says, the disciple whom Jesus loved got to the tomb first. But I didn't go in. I stayed at the door. And Peter, when he finally got there a long time later, because he's slower, When he finally got there, he didn't stop. He just ran right in. Bold Peter ran right in. And I believe there's something to this, because Peter knew, I mean, this was probably not the best place for them to be. If the body of Jesus had been stolen and the Roman authorities got word of it and they were there, guess what? They're going to be incriminated, right, or implicated in the crime. And so this was not a good place. So Peter runs right in. Why did he feel okay doing that? Probably, and quite possibly, because he knew John was having guard at the door. John had his back while he was in the tomb, right?
You go in the tomb.
It's the power of partnership. They're different, but they need each other. And you need to employ this principle in your marriage also. You need each other. God gave me Rebecca to complete me and to make me better than I would be without her. And I'm definitely better with her than without her. In a different way, but just as important, I also help to complete her. We work together. And our differences, see, we're different. We're a team. We're a good team. We're a fantastic team, baby. But we're different. But our differences really need to stay intact to complete that team. We're one team, but our differences must remain intact, because that's what makes a team strong. Yes? Okay. We don't have to share perspectives in order to share purpose. We have to share the same view in order to attack the same purpose. And that's important. One, because sometimes it takes many angles coming at an issue to find the right answer for it, right? We both want something, but we come at it from different angles. And if Peter had not been there when these two were walking up to the church, bold Peter, if Peter had not been there, would John have been bold enough to stop? I don't know. If John had not been there, would Peter have had the compassion to stop? I don't know. But because they were a team, they went together and they saw a miracle. Amen? Thank you, ladies, for helping me demonstrate that. You can keep those as your prize if you like. But as I pointed out earlier, the lame beggar had partners too, didn't he? He did. He had partners. Verse 2 tells us that every day he was put by the gate. He had some friends that were willing to help, but his friends could only do so much. All they knew to do was to take him to the house of prayer. They could do so much. I mean, they helped him every single day, but they could only do so much. And I want to ask you, is it possible that you have some people, some partners in your life that have taken you as far as they can take you? It doesn't mean that they're bad, but they can just only do so much. And regardless of how much this man appreciated those partners, he needed some new partners. Okay? He appreciated the folks that had been taking them there every day, but they could only go so far. He needed some new partners if he wanted a different outcome. There comes a point in life where you have to get past just wanting to get help and desire to get healed. There's a difference. He had been getting help for 40 years, getting to the begging spot. There's a difference between wanting to get healed or wanting to get help and desiring to get healed. And I want to encourage you today, get a desire to get healed. Amen. Help will only do so much for you. That's right. A healing lasts forever. Amen. Mm. Sometimes, good meaning people, good intentions, sometimes their help gets in the way of our healing. Did you know that? They want to help us, but sometimes their limits convince us that there really is no help. I might say, Mike, I depend on you. I need you. I need this. And Mike is just like, I would love to, but you know, if I don't go to my job, I'm not going to have income to take care of my needs. So I would love to, but I can't do that right now. Or maybe I called to talk to Warren, and Warren has said, you know, in my younger years, I would love to have done that, but I just, you know, my knees, my back, they're not just strong. I can't do those things. But if there's only so much that certain people can do, and if I look at that and I say, well, then it must not be meant to be. If Mike can't help me, if Warren can't help me, if, you know, whoever, if they can't help me, I guess it's just not meant to be. But see, maybe I just need some new partners. Maybe I need to get somebody that's young and strong. Maybe I need to get somebody who has more time when I need it. Maybe I need something else. But too many times we look at the situation and say, well, if they can't help me, ain't nobody can help me, I guess. I'll just lay here and beg for the rest of my life. Peter and John, they came. And this man, he wanted one thing. What did he want? He wanted money. But instead, he got a miracle. He did. See, to expand, they had to stretch. They had to stretch. And Peter had not done this before. You know, this was back in the very beginning. Peter hadn't really done this before, and it was a stretch for Peter, right? I mean, what happens if he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, walk, and nothing happened? Yeah, embarrassment. People see that and go, oh, well, I guess there's really not power in the name of Jesus. Okay? But no, he had to stretch. He stepped out on something he hadn't done before, something that maybe he was absolutely 100% confident. Maybe there was a little bit of anxiety about this, but he did it anyway. And he reached out and he said, walk. You see, he stretched out his hand in faith and a miracle happened. So the first thing we've got to do is to build partnerships. Okay, partnerships, they're important. The second one I want to talk to you about is path. Path. You can't get the right partners if you're not on the right path. Even though he couldn't walk, at least he knew where to tell his friends to take him. Yeah? Where did they take him? He took him to church. He didn't have them drop him off at the bar. Take me to the tavern. Take me to the crack house. Take me to the house of prostitution. You see, he didn't want a quick fix. He didn't want to just make him forget about his problems. He wanted to go where there was some help. He went to a place where people were going to pray. Why? Because there's power in prayer, folks. There's power in prayer. Sometimes we come to church in pitiful condition. Sometimes I come to church in pitiful condition. But if you'll put yourself on the path to power through prayer, it's just a matter of time, folks. I believe that. Either the situation will change or God will change you in the situation. You have no idea what God may do one day if you'll stay on the right path. I'm not even going to mention the fact that in the book of Acts, most of the miracles happened outside the church. Yeah? Do you know that? So if most of the miracles happen outside the church, don't think that Sunday is the only time you can glorify God. Don't think that Sunday is the only time you can expect a miraculous move of the Holy Spirit in your life. But still, when tragedy strikes, like when I think about 9/11, when I think about tragedy, family tragedies, deaths, things like that, people, they flock to church. And sometimes us church folks, we get all high and mighty and we think to ourselves, well, you ought not to come to church if you ain't coming for the right reasons. And we stomp our feet a little bit, fold our arms a little bit and say, so-and-so, they just come and they come and they don't even dress right and they come over there and they sit over there and they just talk all the time and they come and they let their kids run wild. They're just not even coming for the right reasons. They just ought not to even come. Well, let me tell you something. This man, he wasn't at church for a deeper relationship with God either. He wanted lunch. God says, I don't care why you came. God wants you to know this morning, I don't care why you came, but while you're here, I've got a word from you. Will you hear it? Will you hear it? Will you let me tell you about how much I love you? Will you let me tell you about what I have done for you that you couldn't do on your own? Will you let me tell you about how other people want to love you also? Because I've commanded them to love me with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves, right? That's what I've told my Christian folks to do, is to love me and to love you. So come, can you hear that? Can you hear that people love you? Can you hear that people want you? You came today maybe because you needed something to get you through the rest of this week. But God wants to raise you up so you can walk through whatever it is for the rest of your life. Amen. Path. Partnership. Path. Price. Price. Healing is free, but obedience is costly. There's a price to be paid. There's a price to be paid. How did they reward Peter for healing this man? Oh, they threw him in prison. And guess who went with him? His partner, John. You say, that ought to tell you right there, be careful who you partner up with. Yeah, yeah. John, bless his heart. But change will cost you something. Change will cost you something. I'm going to read you a statement that I wrote down and want you to pay attention to. If you set out to make a change and don't count the cost, it's just a matter of time before the reality of the challenge outweighs your desire to change. Okay? I'm not telling you to don't make changes. I'm just telling you that when you decide that a change needs to happen, when God tells you a change needs to happen, you need to sit down, you need to count the cost, and be prepared to pay that price. Because it very well may come to pass that you have to pay that price. Is it going to be worth it? Have you made the decision that progress is worth the price? Or are you still window shopping for a better bargain? Is progress worth the price? Or are you window shopping for something that doesn't cost you as much? And it might do almost as good. Okay? I can shop at this store because they have it's a knockoff. It's not the name brand stuff, and I can get it for a better price. I can go to Harwin Street, and I can get a counterfeit that might be as good. Don't settle. Don't settle. The beggar had a price to pay as well. This lame guy, he had a price to pay. What was his price? Well, he had new beginnings to look at, right? Starting over, he was in uncharted territory now. He may have asked, I know that I can walk now, but how do I walk when I don't even know where to go? I've never done this before. I'm over 40 years old. He's been begging for his lunch all his life. Now, he doesn't need to beg. What's he going to have to do? He might have to get a job and earn his lunch, right? Changes. And it's going to cost him something. It's all he's ever known. Maybe you'll have to find something new. Maybe you'll have to find a new way to get high instead of on substances. Maybe you want to get high on the Word. Maybe instead of doing other things, maybe you have to change how you operate. Maybe you have to change how you cope with things. Maybe how you handle disappointments. Instead of stomping your feet and slamming doors, maybe you need to say, you know what? Let's just sit down and talk about this. It's costly, and change will cost you something. And if you don't count that cost, there's going to come a point where you might say, you know what? This cost is too high. I preached a sermon a while back. You have to pre-side. Okay? You have to pre-decide. You have to decide beforehand, whatever the cost is, if it's progress, I'm willing to pay it. And that way, when the time comes, you already know. You just start paying the price. And it's okay because you've already decided. I love. Is it verse 8? Verse 8. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then went with him to the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. The first response this man had was to shout and to dance and jumping. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know if he was like doing a two-step or if he was kind of sashaying or if he was doing jumping jacks. Maybe he had never done jumping jacks before and he was doing that, or maybe he could do backflips. I don't know. He was excited, folks. He had a life change, and whether or not he could hold back or not, you know, it's quite possible that he just couldn't even hold it back. He just had to just get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. But he had to, maybe he just couldn't help himself, or maybe he decided for himself, you know what? I've never done this, and I just don't care what people think, and I'm going to do this. Amen. Don't know. Don't know. But he wasn't too concerned about it, was he? No. And what happened when they did that? The people gathered in amazement. They gathered in amazement. Listen, when you hook up with the right partners, you get on the right path, and you're willing to pay the price, people will be amazed. They will. And you'd think that everybody would be happy for this man, right? I mean, it says that all the people were amazed, but not everybody was happy. You'd think that they would be. No. Church people. Church people. This man becomes the object of controversy, right? They start arguing and fussing over him. The Jewish leaders are afraid that what Peter and John are preaching is going to change up the whole system that basically employs them professionally. This whole religious system. I want to tell you that any time a system is pulled and stretched, you'll always face some sort of resistance. It does. But why? Because growth leaves stretch marks. I wanted to finish this sermon on verse 10. Great way to finish, right? They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate, called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's get out of here and let's walk out of here jumping and singing and dancing and have a great day. And I wanted to end that way, but God said, you can't quite do that yet. I want you to go a little further and just read the next verse. Read the next verse. And I said, why? He said, because I told you so. And I said, okay. Verse 11 says, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Now, this guy, he's doing what? This is the same guy that was jumping, walking, praising God. Now he held on to Peter and John. What's that mean? God, why'd you tell me to read that? Why do we need to hold onto something if we can run and jump and dance, right? Peter, right after this, he sees the opportunity to preach a sermon while the man held on, right? He was holding on. Now, this is not a holding on kind of like, okay, I just got my feet made strong and I can jump and dance, but I can't stand, right? He wasn't holding on like the lady that touched the hem of Jesus. She just wanted to reach and just hold on. It wasn't like that. He didn't want to just hold on as if to take him by the arm. It wasn't a hug. This word actually meant that leaning, okay? Holding on. I needed some help. I need to hold on to something. And I got perplexed. Well, Lord, why are you telling me to read this when the man was just jumping and dancing and now he's having to lean on something? I don't get it. And the more I studied it, it came clear to me. Why was he leaning? Because his mentality had not caught up with his reality yet. What had he been doing for over 40 years? Leaning, 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 leaning. His feet were stronger than his mind was at this point. Something real had happened to him. He could look at it, but his mind just really couldn't comprehend that yet. And sometimes we're still there, folks. Sometimes we're still there. Something physically happened, and he couldn't wrap his mind around it. So what are you leaning on that you no longer need? Man, this is tough, isn't it? I'm asking y'all some hard questions. What are you leaning on that you no longer need? Is it a person? I can't do it without this person. I gotta have to have this person. Always got to be with this person. Is it a substance? Is it an attitude? Is it a prejudice? Is it a certain way of thinking? Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a tradition. I'm leaning on this tradition because this is what I grew up doing. It's the only thing I ever know. I don't want to stretch beyond that because I'm not real certain of what might happen, so I'm just going to, it's very comfortable and very safe right here, and so I want to stay in that. I don't want to have stretch marks. You see, this man, he got healed instantly. And when you gave your heart to Christ, you became healed instantly. Instantly. But has your mind caught up with that yet? Has your mind caught up with that reality yet? The final P I want to give you is, you see, this man, he was hanging on to Peter and John, and Peter thought to himself, well, as long as you're here, I'm going to put you to use. Because a demonstration is always better than a declaration, right? I've got a great demonstration, Peter thought. I'm going to use you as a prop. Fourth P, prop. Fourth P, prop. He used the man as a prop. So who's using who? The man's using Peter to lean on, and Peter's using the man as a prop to the demonstration, right? Yeah. In verse 12 and 13, these are going to be the last verses we're going to read today. Possibly. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of your fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go." Peter started preaching. Started preaching. Used the man as a prop. I thought that was pretty ingenious. Pretty ingenious. God will prop you up to the point to where you're pointing to others and pointing others to Christ. See, God wants to use you as a prop. He doesn't want to just make declarations. He wants to use a demonstration, and he wants to use you to make his point with some people who need a demonstration. He wants to use you as a prop. Will you be used as a prop? Amen. The man was leaning on Peter and John, and he might have said some things to him. Maybe he was like, I don't know what to do right now, guys. I've never done this before. I'm kind of uncomfortable. I know I can walk, but where do I go? What do I do? Maybe he said, "Look, guys, you got me into this. I wasn't asking for this. You got me into this, so can I just hang with you guys for a while? I just need to. I can't even wrap my head around this yet. I just need to hang close to you for a while." I want to tell you this morning that if you don't know what to do, just hang on to the one who healed you. Leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure, right? Leaning on Jesus. Amen. Lean on the one who healed you. Now that you can walk, let God show you where to go. And maybe you're hanging on and you're saying, "I don't know how to love my enemies. It's hard for me. I don't know how to do that. I've never experienced that before. But I want to stretch. I want to stretch a little bit. I want to get beyond that. I want to grow. Will you show me?" Maybe you're saying, "Lord, I don't know how to trust you fully yet. I mean, I trust you, but I want to trust you more. Will you help me? Will you show me? While I lean on you, will you show me how I can trust you?" Maybe you're saying, "I don't know how to raise my kids because I never had an example. My dad wasn't around, and I need some help. Would you show me how to be a good parent? Will you show me how to honor you with my finances?" You see, if you'll stretch, you'll grow. You might end up with stretch marks, but that's not a bad thing. It proves that there's been growth. Will you stretch? For some, to stretch is to trust Christ for the very first time and ask Him to be your salvation. That's a stretch. That's a stretch. Many of you have made that stretch. There may be some that have not made that stretch. Will you stretch? You can't do it on your own. And it may feel uncomfortable. Maybe it's something you've never done before. Maybe you don't know how to. But do you want to? Do you want to? God will show you how. For others, the stretch is to admit that you just don't have all the answers. Maybe you're one of those people that people expect you to know everything, right? And maybe the stretch is for you to say, look, I really don't know what to do in that situation. I really don't have that answer right now. I want to, though. I want to grow. I want to stretch. For others, maybe the stretch is to be willing to pay the price, whatever it may be, because what you've been given is beyond price. Right? Stretch. 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 Stretch today and watch growth come. And watch strength come. And when it does, when God stretches you and does something in your life, don't be afraid to walk, to praise God, and even maybe even jump a little bit. Don't be afraid of that. It shows that God is doing something in your life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Are you embarrassed that God has done something in your life?
No.
Don't be embarrassed of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, if anybody's ashamed of me before other men, I'll be ashamed of him before my Father. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be ashamed of Christ's work in your life. And if he's working, oh man, tell others about it. Why? Because a demonstration is always better than a declaration. That's right. Stretch. 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 When we stretch, it's usually farther than we've ever gone before, isn't it? But that's where God wants to take us. Will you stretch? Will you stretch? Father, help us. Lord, help us to stretch. Help us to not get so comfortable and willing to just be a lame beggar. He could have done that for the rest of his life, Father. But he stretched. He didn't know what was happening. He wasn't even asking for it. Peter was just working through the power of your Spirit, Father, because you knew you wanted to do a demonstration there in that place and in that man's life. And he was changed. How? He went from laying there begging for lunch money to jumping, praising God, and walking. But he stretched. Father, help us to stretch. Stretch us. Help us to be willing to be stretched, desiring to be stretched, desiring to go where into uncharted territory. Help us desire to go into things where we may not have been, maybe we're not comfortable with. But Father, if you're in it, I want to stretch towards it. Help me to follow you, Father. And help each and every one of us to have the desire to want to know you more, to know you deeper, to stretch, stretch into your outstretched arms. Even if it brings us stretch marks, Father, there will be scars that I can show as badges. And I can say, I have had big time growth, and let me show you the marks, and I'll show them off. Father, help me to stretch in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you're here today, and a word that has been spoken this morning has touched you. Maybe you feel compelled to come and just kneel at the altar and pray. Get between you and God and just pray. The altar's open. I will be here. Rebecca will be standing here with me. If you want to come and pray with her, that's fine. You can pray with me, that's fine. You can bypass us and go straight to the altar. That's fine too. But stretch this morning. Are you willing to stretch? Let's not be comfortable with just being lame, getting our needs met. Okay, the guy obviously wasn't starving to death. Doesn't mention he was. He was getting enough to get by. But folks, God didn't create us to just get by. He saved us to raise us and put us to use. Will you be his prop today? Stand with us as we sing it.